My Bible's opening, I should say, to Exodus chapter 20. I encourage you to get your Bible out and turn there. Exodus chapter 20. How's everyone doing tonight? I think if I asked you that question, I've asked probably all of you that question one time or another. Many of you give me the same response, and it's the same response that I find giving you when you ask me that question. How you doing? Tired. Do you feel tired? I think maybe Americans can maybe be identified by two words, hurried and worried. We find ourselves hurrying through life, worried about the future, and oftentimes we worry about things that end up being meaningless, but we go through life and we find ourselves extremely busy, and it's all we can do to just keep the juggling act going. But we don't like to stop. Some of us are guilty of not wanting to sit down and rest. And I think maybe that's because we feel guilty. That if we actually just sit down for a moment, we think about all the things that we could be getting done because tomorrow's coming. And all the things that we have to do tomorrow. We feel like we should always keep moving. And so why is it so hard for us to rest? I want us to think about that, but I want to begin by reading Exodus chapter 20. We were here recently in our reading, and this is where, of course, God makes his covenant with Israel, and they find themselves at Mount Sinai. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So here is God makes his covenant with Israel. God commanded that this day of rest be observed by the Jews on the seventh day of every week. And this is a command of God. So it obviously goes without saying that if it's a command of God, he's serious about that commandment. But I want to show you a few passages that God is very serious about this commandment. He says to the Jews, you need to take a day where you rest. I don't want you to do anything strenuous. I do not want you to work on the seventh day. Now, in terms of maybe seriousness here, I mean, if I keep reading on in Exodus chapter 20 after that commandment, honor your father and your mother, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. I mean, you think about those commands and we get on board with that and say, yeah, that's pretty serious. We recognize that we shouldn't steal and that we shouldn't murder. But right there in the middle of these, we find this commandment to keep the Sabbath day. I mean, is God really all that serious about that? But this is what God says. And you think about this, well, if this is a command of God and he tells us to rest, he tells the Israelites to rest on the seventh day, well, what should be the punishment for breaking that command? Well, what would you think of if you were setting a punishment for that? Well, you might say, well, I'm going to give them a lecture. I'm going to tell them, you know better than that, that you should not be working on this day. You're supposed to rest. Or maybe you say, well, I would ticket them. I would give them a fine. I would really make it hurt if they broke that command. But understand that God had a punishment for this command, and it was not just a lecture or a fine. God said in Exodus chapter 31 that the penalty for breaking the command to observe the Sabbath was to be death. Now, getting back to what I said a moment ago, God's serious about this command, obviously, because of this punishment. If you don't stop and rest one day a week, you will die. It doesn't get much more serious than that, does it? In fact, the first test case comes along in Numbers chapter 15. Look at this. A little bit later on in Numbers chapter 15, there's a man, a Jewish man, who goes out into the wilderness to gather some sticks for a fire. You think, well, of course that's necessary. What's the problem? Well, he does this on the Sabbath day. Verse 32 in Numbers 15. While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation. And they put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones as the Lord commanded Moses. And so, obviously, that causes us, I think, to ask the question, why would God be so harsh? This is what we think in our minds. Why is God so serious? Or we might say, why is he so harsh in his punishment on this particular command? Well, I can only speculate, but maybe there's a few reasons that may help us understand this command a little bit better. The first thing is that God knows how important it is that we rest. Let me show you a passage in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, as Jesus is in his ministry, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus, of course, is quite popular. He finds himself in the midst of crowds and multitudes following him, and they're always coming to him, and they're asking questions, or somebody is wanting something from Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, after Jesus sent his apostles out into the towns to preach and to heal people, in Mark chapter 6 at verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. I find that interesting, because you might think that when the apostles came back to Jesus, this is what I think. This is probably how I would have responded. You know, hey, here's what we've done. We preached this message, and here's what we taught, what you wanted us to teach. And maybe I would have responded by saying, well, that's great. Where are you headed to next? But Jesus says, come. You followed through. You've done what I've asked you to do. You've taught this message. Come by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. I remember reading somewhere, there was a study several years ago by the Army in which they observed soldiers in all sorts of various conditions to try to see how they would get the optimal performance out of their soldiers. And the Army discovered that after 7 consecutive days of hard work, the soldiers' performance dropped. And what was interesting about that study is that the soldier was not aware of it. They felt like if they just kept going, they were getting better, that they were operating at this high level. And they didn't even realize the fact that their work had really gone down. And that somehow maybe it's lazy if we just stop and take a break. But I tell you that just to say that God knows our bodies. He knows that we need to rest. He doesn't need some study about soldiers or anything like that. Of course, God made us. He knows how much our body can handle. And he knows that if we don't take some time to recharge our batteries, that we'll quickly wear out. God also knows that we don't want to rest. We don't want to rest. Now, any parent fully understands this point. We see this with our children. Sarah and I will see this tonight, no doubt about it. They will whine. They will cry. They will say, I'm not tired. 5 more minutes. And all the while they say they're not tired, their head begins to nod and their eyes begin to close. And it's at that point as a parent, you know, although you say you don't need to rest, yes, you do. You're fighting it. And so God knows, even us adults, God knows that we need to rest from our labors and that we will even resist it. And if God had simply told the Jews, I think about this for the Jews in this covenant that they are under, and I'll mention that again, why I'm saying that in a moment. But if God told the Jews under this covenant to just say, hey, listen, I think it'd be a really good idea if you would just stop every so often and rest a little bit. I think it'd be good for you. You got to try it. Now, if God approached his people that way, I would have shrugged it off. So, yeah, I hear you, but we really need to keep going. But God says either you stop and rest for a while or your punishment is death. You tend to listen to instructions like that, right? So this is what God does. He knows that we need to rest and that we even fight it, that man fights it. But the Sabbath for the Jews, the Sabbath was a reminder of their freedom. In the account of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, there's a passage here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 that I want to read to you. It's in verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5 at verse 15. Notice what God says here. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, for us, we're all familiar with the 5-day work week, right? We know what it's like to, you get to Friday, and then it's time where you get, I don't live my life that way, but for you guys, Friday is your stopping point, right? That's it. That's when you're finally finished. But understand that in that day and time, in ancient civilization, the Greeks, in fact, they thought that the Jews were lazy. You're telling me that every seventh day, you're going to have a holiday where you're not going to do anything? And so they really looked at the Jews as lazy. And of course, they thought, well, you're not going to survive. There's no way you're going to make it. Why do you do that? To which the Israelite could only respond by saying, well, this is evidence to the fact that we belong to Jehovah, that we're trusting in him because he has delivered us before. He will take care of us. And that gets me to really this next point, is that the Sabbath was a test of the Israelites' faith in God. So when other people noticed the Israelites that they didn't work on the Sabbath day, it would certainly provoke questions to them, of course. Everyone else was working 7 days a week. And so again, when they asked that question, why do you refuse to do any work on the Sabbath day? They would have to say, we're simply trusting in God. And here's why. Here's one of the reasons why I say that. Let me illustrate it by saying this. You've heard me say this before. I'm not a farmer. I've never lived on a farm. And so I don't understand all the ins and outs of planting and harvesting. But as I understand things when it comes to that, there are particular times that are very important for a farmer. There are times when you really have to time things right. When you plant things at a certain time according to the climate and how the crop deals with the climate. And it's very important when you do that. And it's important, of course, when you harvest your crop. The timing for that has to be right. If you allow your crop to stay in the field too long, well, then you have problems with that. And then everything that you have planted is going to be of no value. So timing is everything. So God, knowing how crucial timing is to this culture, this farming, really an agriculture that Israel had, surely he would have made an exception for the Jews during times of planting or during times of harvesting, that listen, it's okay for you to forget the Sabbath during these times because I know that it's very important for you to get your timing right. But in Exodus chapter 34, let me show you this. In Exodus chapter 34, it's in verse 21. God does not say in these particular times, you just keep working through on the Sabbath and you can make it up later. No, in Exodus 34, verse 21, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest in plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Now, I want us to pay special attention to this. God is testing his people. He is testing their faith. He wanted to know, was their faith in their own ability to get that crop in the ground and in their own ability to harvest that crop in the fall? Or was their faith in God, the one who made the crops grow in the first place? Oh, don't you know there had to have been plenty of times when an Israelite would look up in the sky and see some storm clouds on the Sabbath and just be tempted to say, I really have to work today. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make ends meet. But God says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? You know, God even takes this a step further, which is interesting. Nathan, I feel like you there. I'll just say this. The Sabbath is not just the seventh day of the week. There are also laws about the seventh year as well. And so as you continue reading, there's the 6 year period, the Israelites could plant and harvest their field. But in the seventh year, they were forbidden to plant anything. They were to let the ground, kind of just rest basically. And so they had to store up everything that they had from the previous years so that they would have things for that seventh year. So think about this. God says, do not plant in the fields. This is about faith. God was saying, do you have enough faith in me to not even plant your fields once every 7 years and see if I provide for you? What a test. What a test that God gave his people. Well, of course, the problem with the Israelites is the same problem that you and I really have. Is that at times our faith is weak, and we struggle with believing that God will meet our needs. We might think that if I don't work those extra hours, if I don't get it in while I can, I'm just not sure I'm going to be able to provide for me or my family. And so we work, and we work, and we work, and we wear ourselves out. And could it be because we just don't believe that God will provide for us? Well, let me say this. I mentioned this a moment ago, why I said something in particular. Let me just stop here and talk about the relevance of this command, really to us today. Because anytime we talk about the Sabbath, I think there are several questions that we might have. There are certain things that come out of this topic that let's just address for a moment and help us understand how this really relates to us and where am I going with this. Because the Sabbath commandment, more than any other of the Ten Commandments, there are some differences between what was required of Jews under the law of Moses and what is required for Christians under the new covenant. The fourth commandment really is the only one of the Ten Commandments that has no direct equivalent in the New Testament. In other words, what I'm saying is you can't find any teaching in the New Testament about keep the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day. Now, you can find, of course, things like not committing adultery, lying, stealing. But you won't find any commandments that relate to this observance of the Sabbath. But what you do have, what you do see when it comes to days, and maybe I would even say a special day, is that you see God's people, you see in the New Testament, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, that is obviously a special day for Christians. I mean, while the apostles, they preached on the Sabbath, and the reason why they did that is because they knew they were trying to reach the Jews and they would have a crowd on the Sabbath day. But anytime we read of Christians and we see them gathering in worship, it was on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20 at verse 7. We know this verse. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Or the instructions on giving in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 at verse 2. Paul said, on the first day of the week, let each of you lay by and store as you've been prospered. Why the first day of the week? Well, because that's when they were gathered together. Sunday is a very special day to Christians. It's the day in which Jesus rose from the dead. And even when we read about Jesus and his encounters after the resurrection, Jesus is with them on the first day of the week. So I say all of that Sunday for us as New Testament Christians is a special day because it's the day that we come together and to worship. Sometimes you'll hear the phrase, well, it's the Christian Sabbath. And what I would say to that is that terminology it's not used in the scriptures. And it's really just not accurate. The Sabbath itself, this command, this observance of the Sabbath, is distinctly Jewish. This was a command to the Israelites. God told Moses, I put it on the screen here, in Exodus 31 and verse 16. Again, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So Sabbath observance has never been bound on anyone other than the Jews. This is between God and Israel. So I think it's a contradiction to say the Christian Sabbath. That'd be like saying the Christian Passover. So the Sabbath is just for Israel from the beginning of its observance to the end in the scriptures. So maybe the question then is asked, well, what about Sundays for Christians? I mean, should we work on Sundays? Is it, I know Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. Is Hobby Lobby? I think Hobby Lobby is closed on Sundays too. And, you know, I think that's a great thing that businesses, those businesses provide their employees with an opportunity for them to, for them to be able to gather to worship and then maybe spend time with their families. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's wonderful that we should see Sunday as a day that is really, it's a special day. You've heard me say before that there's just something different about Sundays. Our routine is different on Sundays. There are things that we do to prepare for Sunday that we do or that we don't do any other day of the week. You would agree with me that what we do and how we prepare on Sunday is special. It's a day that we give our devotion to God. But I don't think we have any right to say, to take the Jewish laws regarding the Sabbath and apply them to Sunday. But I think there are important lessons, and really I just want to give a couple. I think there are a few important lessons to be learned from this fourth commandment that really hold true for us today. And above all else, I'll just say this, that I think we need to learn the importance of rest. We have to learn the importance of rest. Now, is God against work? Absolutely not. You will see in creation, God put Adam in the garden to work in the garden, and that's before sin. So work is not a punishment. God designed us to work. In fact, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, God says those who do not work should not eat. So God is not against work. What is he against? He is against work consuming our lives. He is against us finding our significance and our self-worth in our work. That is what he is against. He is against us filling our lives with work that we don't have time for him or that we don't have time for people. He doesn't want us to think that work and operate and live our lives, that work is all that there is in life. And so what he told the Israelites is that you need to stop from your work on a regular basis. And I think it's significant to note that God doesn't say, don't work on the Sabbath. What does he say? You rest on the Sabbath. And you might say, well, what's really the difference? Isn't that the same thing? Well, you or I could take a day of the week and we could take a day off from work. Think about the last time you had to take a day off from work. Did you take a day off from work and prop your feet up on the couch all day? Did you really rest when you took a day off from work? Oh, you might not have went to your office that day, but you did not get to rest from work. So I say that we need to learn the importance of resting. Because busyness, as I said at the beginning, busyness can be the hallmark of the American lifestyle. Because we can tell ourselves, if I could just do a little bit more, well, then I'll get this job or I'll get this project back on schedule. Or if I could just do a little bit more, well, the bills are going to be up to date. Or, you know, if I just do a little bit more, well, then I'm no doubt going to get this promotion. And we neglect our mental and our physical health and our spiritual health, all in the name of success. Now, I am not saying that it is wrong to achieve. But what is clear from Scripture is the problem is when we let our work or anything demand our ultimate commitment from us. What God wanted the Jews to understand and what we need to understand as the Lord's church today is that we must not allow work to become our God. That there's more to life than work. God wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember that there are more important things than work. Well, what are those things? Well, I would just suggest one tonight for the sake of time. How about our families? How about our families? When it comes to work, let's not neglect our wives or husbands or our children. Don't let your family feel as if you are not involved in them. Families need to be together. And I'll tell you that everybody struggles with this because this is where this tired comes from. Everybody's going in different directions. If you ask me what's going on, I always say just chasing kids around. And you know what that's like too. We just feel like we're just chasing kids around and we can become at times just so fragmented that if we're not careful, we can drift apart. And I know you might say, well, I work and my family is my why. Why do you get up and grind? Why do you work? Well, my family. I want to take care of my family. I want to provide for my family. And I understand that. But I have never, and I would venture to say that you have never, and I've had the opportunity to speak to a lot of older people who are nearing death, and not once have they ever said to me, you know, I wish I would have worked more. I've never heard that in my life. I wish I would have worked more. But I have heard. I wish I would have focused on some things that really mattered in my life. So don't get so busy that you forget the things that are truly important. You know, I think if we learn anything from the Old Testament history, what I mentioned this morning, the last point about remembering, singing helps us to remember. And really notice this as we keep reading. We're going to see this. God knows that we are prone to forget. And so that's why we're going to see in the book of Deuteronomy, do not forget. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget why we are here. Don't forget what gives our lives meaning. And because God loved His people so much under the old covenant, He gave them this Sabbath as a time to remember these things. It wasn't just a time to merely refrain from work. It was a time for them, really, where they could do something holy. And that time could be used for them to remember to keep God first in their lives. And I'll suggest to you that that's the message that we need to live in our lives. And that's the message that we need to send to our families and the message that we need to send to those in the world around us. That we set aside time in our lives, that we put God and our priorities and things and the blessings that God has given us above all things, above my interest, above my pursuits. And then when I do that, we display to the world that there is a majestic, almighty God who demands and deserves my full commitment. And I'll tell you, when we do that, when we live our lives this way, ultimately this rest prepares us for eternity. I'll just close by reading this verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. So there's our exhortation tonight. Let's strive. Let's strive. Let's make the right choices and have the proper priorities in our lives so that we can ultimately enter our eternal heavenly rest with God. And if we can help you achieve that tonight, tell you what God has done and expects from you to have a relationship with Him, let us know tonight while we stand and sing.